Hey ECHL fans, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Step into the action with ECHL Ice Level, your front row seat to all things ECHL. Experience the thrill of the game through player interviews and insider updates on the league. Hello everyone, my name is Amanda Arrowsmith.
And I'm Joe Babick. We are your ECHL Ice Level hosts.
We'll be dropping a new episode every Thursday throughout the season at 12 p.m. Eastern. You can expect to hear from players, coaches, and staff within the league.
We just keep rolling right along into the third week of the season here already, and today we're joined by Eddie Matsushima. He's been in the league for several years. He's been in Tulsa the last few years. This year he's with one of the new teams, the Bloomington Bison, serving as their team captain. So looking forward to talking to Eddie about his experiences not only prior to this year, but this year in Bloomington. So let's bring Eddie on. Eddie, we appreciate you taking some time to join us today. Bloomington's first season in the league. It's a city that's had hockey before, but back now after a few years. So how has it been here the first 2 weeks of the season in Bloomington, which is a new city for us this year?
Yeah, it's been awesome. I mean, they renovated the whole locker room and rink for us and stuff, and it's been great. The support from the city has been awesome. We've had some pretty good crowds for a few home games, and everybody we talk to out in the community, they're really excited to have hockey back in Bloomington.
Yeah. So, what would you say was your draw to sign with Bloomington after coming from Tulsa, being there for three seasons? I'm sure you kind of built, a home there with all the staff in the area. So just what really brought you to Bloomington?
Yeah, honestly, that was a really, really hard decision. I have nothing but appreciation and love for the city of Tulsa, the fans and the staff and everybody there, my former teammates. Bloomington for me is actually very close to my hometown of Verona, Wisconsin. As I get a little bit older here, having family be able to come see games is something that's important to me. The other big piece of it is our head coach, Phil Barsky. Chatting with him multiple times at length over the summer, he's just he's an excellent human being and an unbelievable hockey coach, and he and I think very similar when it comes to the game and being very process driven, and that was a huge draw for me. I feel like he can really help push me to be a better hockey player, and that was something that really excited me, and our assistant coach Mess too, just kind of the same deal with the coaching staff. It just those two really kind of drew me into to play in Bloomington.
You played for Rob Murray in Tulsa. He obviously has had a lot of success. He's won a Kelly Cup before. So how would you compare and contrast Rob and Phil as coaches?
Yeah, they definitely have different coaching styles, different communication styles. Murr is a little bit more of that old school kind of coach where, sometimes it's a little bit harder to tell what he's thinking. He's very vocal on the bench and not as vocal in the dressing room with the guys. At least with some of the younger guys, whereas Phil is much more, coming from the OHL, he's got a little bit more communication in dealing with some of the younger generation players. And, he's a little bit more new school when it comes to that, when, dealing with different personalities.
As we said, your first year, obviously, in Bloomington, you're the captain. What does it mean to be named not only the captain of a team, but also for a team in its first season? You can kind of set the tradition, so to speak, and set the mold of what's going to come down the road.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge honor. It's not something I take lightly. Like you said, being it the first year, there's we get to kind of build the culture. And that's something that Phil and I really, really discussed as a possibility over the summer was creating a culture that we both believed in. And that's something to me that was really, really exciting. I mean, we get to build a culture from scratch without any veteran guys. We kind of get to figure out which way we want to pull the rope and make sure we have the guys that are going to do the same.
So obviously you guys have a brand new roster since you're an expansion team. I know there's quite a few rookies on that team. So what are you doing as captain, just to get everyone on the same page, working together and kind of helping bring them to light within their new career?
For me, I like to lead by example to start. Especially these guys, some of these guys I'm 10 years older than. Can't believe I'm saying that on this podcast, but there are some guys I'm 10 years older than. So they definitely keep me young. And it's kind of one of those things. I let them ask me questions because I never want to, jam anything down anybody's throat, and I never want to force anybody to do anything that, they don't want to do. But guys start to kind of look around, and as they come from junior, they come from college, it can be anything from, hey, what do you do for warm up, or how do you, do this or that, or, we've had guys ask like how to start a dishwasher, and what do you do in the grocery store, how do you do the, things that when you come from a billet family, or maybe mom and dad have done it, you just start to see that age discrepancy there a little bit. But for me, it's a lot of lead by example, and just kind of making sure I set the tone. And like I said, we're building that culture. So.
You did have one familiar face from your time in Tulsa, Blake McLaughlin, who I know was just called up the other day to Hartford. Had to be nice, though, at least have somebody you've played with before and have some comfortability with as you try to build the culture with the team.
Yeah, it was awesome. When I found out that Mac had signed a two-way deal, I was really, really happy for him. I told him I was happy, and I hope that I never got to see him. But he just got called up, so again, I hope we don't see him anymore. But having him at the start was nice. Just on the ice, comfortability, not having to worry about trying to figure things out that way. He and I had played a lot together before, so kind of having that chemistry already on the ice was definitely helpful.
So going into the season already, I know this weekend I saw a little bit, all the fans did 100%. There's quite the rivalry building with you guys in Iowa. So just talk to me about that. How were those games this weekend? And what do you think has built up this rivalry? Although you're in the same division, I think everyone could feel it through the screen.
I think it's one of those things where teams recognize that we have a young team, and so they're definitely trying to take advantage of that and maybe try to intimidate us a little bit. You could definitely see some wide eyes after warm-ups in the locker room, and our leadership group just kind of talking to the guys, just explaining how things work, and that you can't be intimidated by that kind of stuff. And honestly, it kind of brought us together more as a team, and really good learning opportunity for our young group and how to handle situations like that, because obviously that's not it might be the first time, but it's definitely not going to be the last time that that kind of game happens for us. Again, being a young team, but we play Iowa a lot this year. I think they might be our closest team. So, definitely going to be a little rivalry, obviously, as it's already apparent to everybody else. So no, it should be fun.
In a way, is it kind of good to get that out of the way early? As you said, you have a lot of young players who haven't played pro hockey before, so for them to have that kind of rivalry and intense game early in the season, that certainly might help some nerves later on down the road.
Yeah, again, for us, everything is brand new. I think there's going to be a lot of firsts for us, and like you said, it is very beneficial for us that it happened so early in the year. And honestly, the way that we handled it, I'm so happy with the way that everybody handled it. Our entire team from top to bottom, and the way that we responded in that game. And it's really, really beneficial for us.
Going back again to your time in Tulsa, probably I would say the highlight for you was being named to the ECHL All-Star Game a couple years ago in Norfolk. So kind of just take us back to that and the honor of not only being named to that game, but then being able to play alongside some of the best players in the league that night.
Yeah, that was a big surprise for me, honestly. I remember that year. It was kind of had a slow start to the year, and then just one game just kind of broke out and started scoring, and having some good puck luck around the net. And I remember when Murr called me and told me I was going to the All-Star game, I couldn't believe it. I was pretty shocked. I really didn't know what to say. I actually remember we played like a 4-5 right before that All-Star game. And we actually played on Sunday in Wichita before we went to the All-Star game, or before I went in Norfolk, and we had to drive back from Wichita, and I had to actually fly out on that Monday morning. So I actually don't think I think I slept maybe 2 hours, but excitement, nerves, just trying to make sure I had everything packed and ready to go. But the All-Star game was an amazing experience. My dad actually flew out. It was awesome. I mean, I love 3-on-3, so I mean the fact that it was like that was amazing. Just getting to watch the skills competition, all of that stuff. It was just it was really done very professionally, and it was a lot of fun.
So tell us a little bit about your experience prior with the Pensacola Ice Flyers, obviously, and what kind of, brought you into after being loaned to Orlando and then a few other teams in the ECHL to where you are now.
Yeah, so my journey has not been a typical one. Obviously, as you pointed out, I didn't get the traditional Division One scholarship, AHL contract type deal. I had to start playing Division Three, and coming out of D3, it was difficult to try to find coast teams that would take a chance on me. I mean, you kind of have a stamp of playing Division Three, and my agent and I and my coaches at college decided it was best to try to go play in the SPHL first. And I went down to Pensacola and finished my the end of my college senior year there, and then started in Pensacola that first year. And again, you kind of get the stigma of playing in the SP as well, and you kind of have to kind of claw your way out and make a name for yourself and kind of prove that you can play in the league. And yeah, that first year was quite I was quite a suitcase. I don't think I unpacked that suitcase for like 3 or 4 months, because I went from Orlando, and then it was Christmas break, so I flew to South Carolina. We played South Carolina, drove to Atlanta, played in Atlanta. We drove back to Orlando. I flew back to Wisconsin for Christmas break, flew back to Orlando to then get released, to go back to Huntsville to play a game, to drive back to Pensacola to play another game. And then the next day on the golf course, I got called up to Maine. So I flew out to Redding, drove from Redding back to Maine. And then I was lucky to stick in Maine for a couple months, and then got released, went to Worcester, and then I was in Worcester until COVID shut us down. But yeah, and then the following year I ended up going back to Pensacola, because I was signed in Worcester and the North Division decided not to play, and it was a huge scramble to find a team, and a team that was for sure going to play. The Southern Professional League had decided that they were going to play with only five teams, so it was kind of a guarantee that we were going to be able to actually play. So talking with my agent, it was like, you know what, like we need to play some games this year and play hockey. So went back to Pensacola, played a full season there, was fortunate enough with that group to win the President's Cup. And then the year after that ended up in Tulsa. So it's been a journey for sure.
You mentioned, the D3 and the SPHL. We've seen a lot more D3 players come up, I think, here over the last 4 or 5 years. So do you kind of take that as a point of pride for you to like show that it is possible for players from the D3 level and the SPHL to make a good impact in the ECHL?
Yeah, honestly, it wasn't something when I was doing it that I was really thinking about. I wasn't really like thinking about, oh yeah, we can kind of like make sure and show that this is possible. It was just like, hey, I was like, this is my goal, like to just continue to get better every single day. And I just like just kept grinding to get to where I am. But obviously as years have gone by, I've kind of thought about it, and I do a lot with River Falls, the University of Wisconsin River Falls, where I attended school. And yeah, it is a point of pride for sure to, when guys see, they're like, man, you played D3? And I was like, yeah, I did for sure. So that's definitely a point of pride for me, and something that I love to just see how far other guys can take it too. I mean, I was able to get as far as I've gotten, but I would love to see guys go further for sure.
You're now in your sixth season playing pro hockey. Is that something you ever even envisioned when you were playing at River Falls? You'd be here playing 6 years later pro hockey still?
Yeah, honestly, no. I really didn't think so. My wife says she for sure thought I was going to play this long, but myself, I did not think that playing Division III, that it was, I thought maybe a year or two, kind of one of those things like, hey, let's do it to say I played professionally. But again, when 6 years ago, they're playing professional hockey at a D3 was just so unheard of. And, a couple guys were doing it here and there, getting a few games, maybe playing a year or two, but like nobody actually was, making it a career. So again, I was kind of following status quo, thinking that that was going to be me as well. Just continued to try to find ways to get better every day and every season, every year. I'm still doing that at 30 years old, but it's did not envision myself playing this long for sure.
So, looking ahead just a little bit here on the season, do you have any personal goals, or are they more so, shaped around the Bloomington Bison and the team as a whole, bringing everyone up? Or just what do you have in store for the next few years here?
Yeah, the next few years is
Is
something
that
I
a
don't even
stretch?
know. I'm trying to figure out what I'm doing tomorrow, but
You never know.
yeah, no, it's something. I mean, obviously, I want this team to succeed. I mean, that's what I'm here in Bloomington for is for to help again grow these rookies, help this team succeed, and obviously win a Kelly Cup on a personal side. I would love the opportunity to get back to the American League. We're very centrally located around a lot of teams, and a lot of teams aren't looking to sign a 30-year-old to an American League contract, but it's if I'm doing well, and if an American League team needs me, we're pretty much a hop, skip, and a jump from five or six teams. So personally, I'd love to get back to the American League, but from a team standpoint, the goal is obviously to win a Kelly Cup.
Wendy, we certainly appreciate you taking some time here to join us today, and wish you nothing but the best of luck the rest of this year as the Bison look to make a big impact in their first year in the ECHL.
Yeah, thank you.
Lot of good stuff there from Eddie Matsushima from the Bloomington Bison. So again, we thank him for taking some time out of his day to join us. We appreciate everyone who's listened to this episode and our past episodes. If you haven't checked out our previous episodes, you can always go back and listen to those as well. Last week we had Parker Gahagan. The week before that, we had ECHL Commissioner Ryan Creelan. So just ripping and roaring right along. And we'll be back next week. We'll see you every Thursday for another edition of the ECHL Ice Level Podcast. Make sure you like, subscribe, and rate our podcast and follow us on social media. We're at ECHL Hockey on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, and ECHL on X. Thanks, everyone.